Tonight is the fourth, is the fifth in the series, in a series of shiurim on modern Israeli issues, contemporary issues that have arisen since the establishment of the State of Israel. This series of six shiurim is given in honor of the upcoming 60th anniversary of the establishment of Medinat Yisrael, which we'll be celebrating after Pesach on the 5th of Iyar, coming soon. Tonight we're going to be speaking about an issue that a major disagreement between various poskim and translates in practice to very, very different practices amongst different Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And that is the question of whether the halakha permits benefiting from the electricity that is produced by Israeli power plants on Shabbos. If you go to communities such as Bnei Brak, where the Chazon Ish's word is very, very strong, that was a place where the Chazon Ish lived, and the Chazon Ish was very opposed, strongly opposed, vehemently opposed to using electricity from from Israeli power plants. You will see that they do not use electricity from the Israeli power plants. Rather, what they do is they will have private generators to generate their electricity on Shabbos. And if you go, however, to other communities in Israel, such as religious Zionist groups, you will find that they are far more lenient. They are lenient about this issue. They will use the electricity from Israeli power plants. Just to show you how far that some take this issue, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, one of the major halachic authorities in Bnei Brak today, a nephew of the Chazon Ish, actually believed that if you're in a shul that uses electricity from the general Israeli power supply, does not have a private generator, that you're not allowed to use a sitter in that shul to daven on Shabbos. It's remarkable. And that's because of the very strong feelings we have on this particular issue. Now, just a reminder, we're going to continue what we've done the past few weeks, and that is each section, as we complete each section, I'll gladly take questions and comments that you may have. Are there any comments at this point? Okay, let's begin. Let's begin by discussing the four halacha concepts that are going to be critical for understanding this year tonight. The first concepts we find in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Yuches Seif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch tells us, records the rabbinic prohibition, this is Rabbanan, to benefit from work performed by a Jew on Shabbos. So very simply, let's say if a Jew cooked for me on Shabbos, I can't eat that food. Cannot eat that Mata Shabbos. That cannot eat the food cooked cannot have any benefit from work performed by a Jew on Shabbos. Right? That's one halacha. Second halacha is that it is permissible for a healthy individual to benefit from an animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos for the benefit of a dangerously ill individual. Why is that? Why is that different? This is different because the action, let's say, of slaughtering that animal was absolutely permissible since it was done for the benefit of a dangerously ill individual who needed that meat on Shabbos, otherwise he would have died and there was no other meat available. And since it was permissible to slaughter, therefore there was not an act done in violation of Shabbos, and even if I am not a dangerously ill individual, I'm permitted to benefit from that act of slaughtering since there was no violation of Shabbat involved. I'll just give you a similar situation. Let's say if you have a situation on Shabbos where there's a danger to life and light must be turned on. Someone turns on a light for a dangerously ill individual on Shabbos. Let's say the doctor needs more light to be able to check him. And let's say somebody else comes to that room. They can benefit from that light because that light was lit in a manner which was absolutely permissible. Okay, this is the concept that the Gemara presents in Shabbos, Kuf Chaf Beis and Aleph, Ner Le'echad, Ner Le'meah. The light that benefits one person can benefit 100 people, and therefore there's no reason why someone who is a healthy individual should not be permitted to benefit from that light, just as a dangerously ill individual is able to benefit from it. So these are three basic concepts. We'll introduce a fourth, and that is the concept we find in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Siman Shin Yud Ches, Seif Beis, that it's forbidden for a healthy individual to benefit from food that was cooked for a dangerously ill individual. Let's say if somebody is dangerously ill, and they need a hot meal, and I cook a hot meal for them. So the dangerously ill person, of course, can benefit from that food, can eat that food, even though it's cooked on Shabbos, for it's because it's a danger to life. However, a healthy individual cannot eat from the food even if it's just leftovers. Why? We're concerned that had it been permissible for a healthy individual to benefit, Chazal, the rabbis of the Talmud, forbade anyone to benefit from this cooking. Why? Because they made a gzera, they made an edict. Shema yarba bishvilo, lest one cook more for the healthy person. Now, what's the difference between that and turning on the light? Or shechita? The action is, the difference is as follows. By shechita, it is one action. By turning on the light, it's one action. However, there's no difference whether you're going to benefit one person or 100 people in terms of turning on a light or in terms of shechita. However, when it comes to cooking food, you can cook, there's concern you're going to cook more food. It's not all one act. Shechita is all or nothing. Turning the light is all or nothing. It's all one act. But when it comes to cooking food, one can easily cook additional food beyond which is necessary for the dangerously ill individual. And cooking food for a healthy individual on Shabbos would be absolutely forbidden, biblically forbidden on Shabbos. And therefore, it's the rabbis made a precaution that it's forbidden for a healthy individual to benefit from food that was cooked for a dangerously ill individual, okay? So there's food cooked for an ill, dangerously ill individual. It's forbidden for the healthy individual. An animal slaughtered for a dangerously ill individual is permissible for a healthy individual to benefit from, okay? Those are the four key concepts. Now we're going to speak about and apply these rules regarding the issue of electric power in Eretz Yisrael. And the basic information now is that power in Israel is supplied for all kinds of needs, for the needs of dangerously ill individuals, as well as for security concerns, as well as for non-life-preserving means. So, for example, electricity is needed in Eretz Yisrael in order to power hospitals, police stations, army bases. You need electricity to power the lighting at night. It makes the streets safer, much more secure from criminals, both internal criminals within Israel and external criminals from outside Israel. It makes it much safer, and it would be a danger for there not to be light in the public streets during the evening on Friday night in Eretz Yisrael. So it's clearly some of the electricity that is generated by the Israeli power plants is produced for pikuach nefesh needs, for a matter of preserving life. However, much of the Israeli power is not for life-preserving needs. It's for people to use for their convenience in their homes. That's very basic information. Now, in order to be able to paskin these silos properly, there needs to be accurate information regarding electric power in Eretz Yisrael. In general, in halacha, it is so critical for everyone to be able to have proper and accurate information, not only not only important to have accurate halakhic information, but it's so important to get the mitzvahs correct, to understand the accurate information of what we're assessing. So, for example, the Chazon Ish is famous for observing that he believes that sometimes 70% of halakhic mistakes are made because of not understanding the facts correct. In law, they would call this finding of fact and finding of law. You have to be able to establish the facts of a case before you can start establishing the law. And let me share with you two particular cases where it's easy to where mistakes can be made based on inaccurate information. For example, both in the lenient direction and in a machmir direction and a stringent direction. An example is given in regard to the following. There were Jews in certain sections of Yerushalayim, let's say Mea Shearim, who received their power from a power plant that is located in East Jerusalem. It's operated for the most part by Arab residents of Israel. And most of the customers of the power plant from East Jerusalem are Arabs. So it would seem that that power plant should be no different than the power plants outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's produced mostly by non-Jews for the benefit of mostly non-Jews, and therefore it should be no problem whatsoever from Jews benefiting from this, since it is not a non-Jew doing work for Jews. This is what people would think. However, a major postage today in regard to issues of technology in halacha, by the name of Rav Levi Yitzchak Kaufman, he writes in his Tshuva Maaseh Choshev, Din Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Aleph, that would be an absolute mistake to think that Arab-run power plants would have a different halacha, because as long as the power plant is tied together on the national grid, the power plants are all interdependent. And you can't say, oh, the power in Mea Shearim is coming strictly from the Arab power plant. It's not correct, because all the power plants connected to the national grid in Israel are all interconnected, and you cannot bifurcate one from another. Just to illustrate this point, Rav Halperin noted that there was once a power outage, in one of the power plants in Israel, and that knocked out the power in East Jerusalem as well, even though the power outage took place in a power plant far away from East Jerusalem. Nevertheless, all the power plants are independent as long as they are linked together to the national Israeli grid. So no difference between those who live near East Jerusalem and those who live in other areas of Eretz Israel. And a second example which seems to be a terrible mistake based on not improper assessment of the facts, is a story that is a psak that I saw given and actually in a prominent halachic sefer, which writes that if repair was done to wires, not to a power plant, but to local wires, in an area where there was no hospital or police station or army base, if it took place during the day, that there was no need for that repair, that was a repair of the electric wires in violation of Shabbos, and therefore it would be forbidden for Jews to have any benefit from that repair of these local wires, since, as we said at the outset, that it is rabbinically prohibited for any Jew to benefit from work performed by a Jew on Shabbos. But this seems to be absolutely incorrect, because it's invariably, if you have a local area, even if there's no hospital, police station, or army base, there will be, the electricity will provide for at least some life-preserving needs. There are people who need to have medicine, otherwise their life is endangered. And sometimes these medicines need to be refrigerated. There are people who are dependent on oxygen for their life. So it would seem that when power goes out, it's a matter of pikuach nefesh, and local wires have to be repaired. And if they were repaired for pikuach nefesh needs, or at least partial pikuach nefesh needs, then there perhaps is room to be lenient. Okay, let's start now reviewing the mid-century, the debate about this issue, which began to emerge in the on the 1940s and the 1950s. All right, but before I continue summarizing this debate, does anybody have any comments or thoughts? I'm happy to respond. Okay, let's go through the various opinions. And I think I'm going to drop a bomb in that may surprise everybody, but I think it's a very important halachic or even hashkafic lesson and practical halachic ramification. All right, let's begin. Let's begin by taking a look at four major opinions regarding this issue. Rav Shlomo Goren, the chief rabbi of Tzahal, from the establishment of the State of Israel through 1970, and then he was later the Ashkenazic chief rabbi, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Chazon Ish, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Goren felt, interesting, this is a tshuva that he wrote in 1958, he received a tour of the power plants of Israel in 1958, and he wrote at that time that it was permitted to use electricity only for the first few hours of Shabbos, based on the fact of those days, 50 years ago, that fuel needed to be manually added every 8 hours, and the burners had to be manually cleaned every 8 hours. So therefore, Rav Goren felt that for the first few hours of Shabbos, one could benefit from the lights, from the electricity in Eretz Yisrael, from the national grid. You didn't need a private generator. However, after that, it would be forbidden to benefit from the electricity generated on Shabbos by the Israeli power plants, since one would be benefiting from the work performed by Jews on Shabbos for the benefit of other Jews, since the fuel had to be manually added and the burners manually cleaned every few hours. Okay, that was the opinion of Rav Shlomo Goren. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that although he's disturbed about the fact that Jews are doing malacha on Shabbos for other Jews, yes, it's sad, but nevertheless, he says it's permitted to benefit from it. Why? Because Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, we'll come back to that. I'll try to address the issue shortly. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in his Shals and Shuvos, Mincha Shlomo, he writes that he believes that the electric power plant issue is entirely analogous to the situation described before, where one turns on a light in their home for the benefit of a dangerously ill individual. That act itself was permissible, and therefore it's permissible for other Jews, even healthy Jews, to benefit from that light. Ner le'echad, ner le'me'ah. The light for one is a light for, can be conserved as light for 100. And since, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, the power, the electricity generated by the power plants in Israel is necessary for pikuach nefesh needs, for needs to save lives. And that is, we said, for hospitals needs it, army bases, police stations, since it's needed for pikuach nefesh to preserve life, therefore it's permitted to even healthy people, even for non-life-preserving needs, one would absolutely be permitted to benefit from such electricity. So argues Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. On the other hand, the Chazon Ish wrote in the early years of the state and Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael, the Chazon Ish, who lived in Bnei Brak, writes as follows. His words are fiery. He says as follows, and I'll read to you a translation of his words. He writes, if the electricity was produced by a Jew who is not Shomer Shabbos, it is forbidden to benefit from it. Now listen to what he writes. He writes, even if Rav Shlomo Zalmanach Orbach is correct, even if the situation which the halacha technically permits benefiting from the electricity produced, since it's ner l'echad ner l'meya, he writes the Chazon Ish is still forbidden to use the electricity, since its use constitutes a chil Hashem, a terrible desecration of Hashem's name. Because there's a public service, and the worker who maintains the power plant on Shabbos does so in a rebellious manner. One who benefits from the electricity produced in this manner indicates that his heart is not pained by the chil Shabbos, by the desecration of Shabbos, by other Jews. And the Chazon Ish concludes, may it be Hashem's will that everyone should speedily commit, that all Jews should speedily commit to complete tshuva, a repentance and a commitment to the Torah. So the Chazon Ish is saying as follows. He's saying that even if you'll make an argument that technically one is permitted to benefit from it, he feels it's wrong, it's a chil Hashem. How could you sit and benefit from the light that was produced in violation of Shabbos? It was so painful. The Chazon Ish found that so incredibly painful. And the Chazon Ish, I'd like just to share with you, an excursion on this issue for a few moments. And I think this has enormous ramifications, both in terms of hashkafa, our attitude, and in terms of the technical halacha. First of all, the attitude is that it teaches us. We Shomer Shabbos Jews teaches us an attitude towards those who do not observe Shabbos. We Jews love all Jews. Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh LaZeh, V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. But nevertheless, we cannot take the approach that live and let live. Those who want to keep the Torah, those who don't want to keep the Torah, Torah is not optional. And even though we love Jews, all Jews, even if they violate the Shabbos, nevertheless, it should pain us that other Jews violate Shabbos and not have the attitude of live and let live. And I would suggest that all opinions would believe that it's wrong to engage in the following behavior and the following practices. And this is, I know I'm dropping a little bit of a bomb, but I think this Chazon Ish is incredibly applicable to the following issues. Give you an American issue, then an Israeli issue. A student of mine asked me the following question. He's this student of mine is a Mets fan. New York is a fan of the New York Mets, and the New York Mets they're playing on Shabbos afternoon, and I was told they have a broadcaster who's Jewish. And we'd be broadcasting from California, and the young man from Teaneck, New Jersey, wants to know, can I watch this game even though I'm benefiting from, and I'll be benefiting on Matzei Shabbos from the violation of Shabbos of the sportscaster. So I told him that this is a very serious problem. That even though technically you could say that the Isser of Maaseh Shabbos, the Isser to benefit from work done, performed by a Jew on Shabbos, should only apply on Shabbos, but not after Shabbos. But nevertheless, technically speaking, how could a Jew just stand by and just sit and listen to a ball game while he sees in front of him a Jew being Mechal Shabbos? It should be painful. How could you tolerate such a thing? It's one thing for the electricity in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos is produced for Pikuach Nefesh needs. But here, with the broadcast of a baseball game, how can one just sit and watch it? And I think there are many other practical ramifications for this. If, let's say, one wants to tune into the Israeli, to find out the Israeli news before Shabbos, and they turn on to an Israeli website, and if that Israeli website is being maintained in violation of Shabbos, as unfortunately some Israeli news outlets are, then even if you'll say that technically it's not forbidden, because where you are, it's not Shabbos, and therefore there's a prohibition to benefit from the malacha done by a Jew doesn't apply because it's not Shabbos for you. Nevertheless, it should be pained by the violation of Shabbos. And how could you read the news that's being produced in Chil Shabbos? I know I have a cousin of mine who likes listening to the Israeli music. on Reshet Aleph. And my cousin tunes in on the internet to Reshet Aleph, listening to the Israeli music. But very nice. That's very nice every day of the week. But you can't do that on Friday afternoon when it's already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. If it's already Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it would be forbidden to. It would be a gross violation of the spirit of the halacha to enjoy, to get your entertainment or even information, but non-life-saving information from Jews from Jews who are violating Shabbos. Okay. For the Kaddish Rabbi Kelman, Rav Herschel Schefter says you can't put an ad and even a birth announcement in the Saturday paper. Right, that is correct. That Rav Schefter published that in his Tshuvot. That's 100% correct in the Big Fat Song. That's correct. Right, that's correct. Does he have a similar consideration?
In other words, you're benefiting from the Chillul Shabbos of the paper being printed. Of course, he says you can't read a paper. You're presenting it more in a, sort of on moral issues, philosophical issues. He presented halachic issues that it's mana, it comes from outside the tchum, all kinds of halachic reasons why you can't read a paper. I know, in general, people are very makil on this. You know, you walk into any shul on Shabbos, people have all read the paper before they came to shul, but, you know, it's something Rav Schefter said you should be, it's not even a chumrah, he felt mikar adin.
Well, that's something else. First of all, that's speaking about on Shabbos itself. And there it's speaking about he's speaking about Goyim doing Malacha for a Jew. We cannot benefit from Malacha that a Goy does on behalf of a Jew. What I'm speaking about is that we should not sit idly by while our brother, and then sit and read an Israeli newspaper, listen to Reshet Aleph, an Israeli radio, or to listen to a broadcast, we see in front of our eyes, we see Chillul Shabbos. It's a little bit more of a moralist, philosophical issue, and it's not exactly the same as Rav Schefter, because that's speaking about on benefiting on Shabbos itself. As far as the newspapers, there's more room to be, there's a big disagreement about this, but there is perhaps more room to be lenient for some people to read the Shabbos newspaper that's delivered on Shabbos, because the work, for the most part, most of the subscribers are not Jewish. Most of the workers are not Jewish. So you could say that the work is done on behalf of, by non-Jews, for non-Jews. So that's why, if they say get to the power plant, it would be permissible for us to benefit here outside of Eretz Yisrael, to benefit from the power plants because it's worked on by mostly non-Jews on behalf of mostly non-Jews. Okay.
I understand, but I find it hard to see objectively by a newspaper if they are delivering it to your house. You're Jewish. You can't say that the 98% of subscribers are non-Jewish, which is not true in the New York area anyway. But even if that is true, the fact they are delivering it to your house, they are doing melacha for you on Shabbos.
Okay. I was trying to squirm out on that issue. I think you're right.
I'll let you if you want, but I won't press you on the issue. I'm just saying, I would like to say like that. I just, logically, I find it difficult to intellectually say, you know, that it sounds like a real stretch. You want to be melamed zchut on people, great, I understand. But, you know, in the halakha shir, I find that hard to say.
Okay, so the limud zchut, I would say, is as follows, is that the prima gadim, remember I discussed this with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, that perhaps they're relying on, suggested the prima gadim, who believes that it's not the guy is not doing malacha for the Jew. He's not employed by you. He's not working for you. He's working for his boss. He's working for, let's say, the New York Times or the Toronto newspaper. He's not working for you. So you could say that you're not benefiting from malacha done by a non-Jew for you. He's not doing it for you. He's doing it for his for his own employment, for his salary, and he's doing it for his boss. So that's the technical means of that issue. But it is a serious problem. I do agree with you that it's a serious problem. I don't read the newspapers that are produced, that is delivered on delivered on Shabbos. Okay. But we can defend those who do. All right, let's round out the mid-20th century debate with the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein defends, he doesn't take a full stand on this, but he writes that there is a defense for those Jews who adopt the lenient approach to the issue regarding the Israeli power plants on Shabbos. He writes that there's a sfek-sfek. A sfek-sfek means it's a double safek. That generally when it comes to one safek, there's more room to be strict, but it's a double safek, a double doubt, there's reason to be lenient. And the double doubt of Rav Moshe Feinstein in the context of the Israeli power plants on Shabbos is as follows. He writes that there are two doubts. First of all, the power plants are automated. He's writing post-1958. And maybe everything just ran on autopilot on the Israeli power plants on Shabbos. And the second doubt is, and even if there was a breakdown in the power plant, perhaps the electricity was fixed by a non-Jewish worker and not by a Jewish worker, and therefore you would be benefiting from the non-Jew and not from the Jew, in which case there would be a little bit more room to be lenient since the work is being done for pikuach nefesh needs. That's the argument of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So basically, let's summarize what we've seen. The Chazon Ish was Eish Lahava, was fiery, vehement opposition to benefiting from the electricity produced by power plants, Israeli power plants on Shabbos, and therefore you'll find in those communities that follow the Chazon Ish, especially in Bnei Brak, the Jews will have private power plants for their homes, for their shuls, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach believed that it was permissible, and that's what many Jews in Eretz Yisrael followed as well, since the power is made in part for life saving purposes. I just really want to share two stories that will illustrate these various opinions. Story is told about the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish once went on one Friday night to a Sheva Brachas, and he saw that everything was all lit up, and he found out that it was light from the national grid, and it was not from light generated by a private generator. And the Chazon Ish asked, "I don't understand, why did you do this?" So they responded, "Look, Rebbe, please be mochel. It's we needed the light. It's a Sheva Brachas, the sake of the mitzvah. We needed the light." And the Chazon Ish's response was, a cute response, he said, "You call that light? That's not light." So it's to him that it was darkness, to him it was painful, to light that was produced in violation of Shabbos. And the second story is told by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach about this issue of regarding Israeli power plants, and that is, he himself personally was machmir about this issue, but in his yeshiva he was lenient. He allowed the yeshiva to be lit on Shabbos from power from the Israeli power plants because the private generators make a lot of noise, and he was very concerned that noise would disturb the neighbors of the yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And since he didn't want to disturb his the neighbors to his yeshiva Kol Torah in Yerushalayim, therefore he felt they'll follow his lenient opinion that it was permissible to have benefit from the lights, and he'd be mockery himself in his own house, but not for the yeshiva, because he did not want to be mockery, he didn't want to be strict at the expense of the comfort of the Onik Shabbos, of the enjoyment of Shabbos, of his neighbors. Okay. I'm going to stop here for a second. I received a question. Someone who asked why God, okay, I'll take, it's a very interesting hashgafic question. It's worth talking about this for just a very brief time, and we'll return to our issue of using electricity of Israeli power plants. One of our viewers one of our participants emailed as follows, or typed in, I don't understand why Hashem gave us an instruction that cannot be clearly understood. We spend enormous amounts of time trying to figure out what the truth is, but there's so much disagreement what actually is the truth. I will try to answer this on two planes. First of all, we believe that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that both these and these are the words of the living God. The Chazon Ish is MS and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is MS. Now, how can someone both be right? Reminds you of the old story of one person, there were two Jews having an argument. The first Jew presented their argument, the rabbi said, you're right. Then the second Jew presented his argument, and the rabbi responded, you're right. And then someone asked, and a third person asked the rabbi, how can they both be right? And the rabbi responded, you're also right. So you can't have such an idea. There's a concept of multiple theories of truth. You have it in math as well. In Euclidean geometry, parallel lines do not meet. In non-Euclidean geometry, parallel lines do meet. So we see there could be multiple truths. Hashem made the world, there could be multiple truths. That's number one. Number two is, why did Hashem give us an instruction that cannot be understood? So I would say, and this is for a lengthy Yashir, that Hashem has, giving an analogy of the way Hashem made the world. Hashem made a world where there was smallpox. Hashem made this world, the Chachmei HaKabbalah, the Kabbalists teach, incomplete. Whose job did he give it to make it complete? The job was given to humanity to complete it. And one could say perhaps the same thing for Torah. With Torah, that it is, one could say, that we that is all that Hashem gave us the building blocks, but we have to complete it. It's sort of like with the bread. Hashem gives us wheat, but we have to bake the bread. Hashem gave us a Torah, but we have to apply it. And that's, yes, there can be different attempts, there can be disagreement on every page of the Talmud. There of the Gemara, there's disagreement. And that's because Hashem has given it to mankind to fill in the missing pieces and to interpret the Torah. And Hashem is open to the to all these different opinions, all these different interpretations of the word of Hashem. So now our question is, if we have the truth, why do we need the Mashiach? Well, that's a nice question. I would say simply because there could be many angles to this, but the Mashiach can do things that we cannot have. Even though we certainly have truth of Torah, but the Mashiach will be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Mashiach will be the one that's described in Yeshayahu to bring peace to the world. We certainly need someone who's going to bring peace to the world and rally all the Jews to commit to Torah. So that will be, and rally all of humanity to be committed to basic morality and decency. So we certainly need the Mashiach. Okay. But we don't understand all these things now. Well, I think we're not capable of bringing peace now, and we certainly... Only the Mashiach is authorized to build the Beit HaMikdash, but I think we're getting a little bit off topic, so we're going to come back now to, let's go back now to our issue regarding power plants, is using electricity from Israeli power plants on Shabbos. Okay, now let's go, it's on our handout, it's the second page. Updated information, as we mentioned earlier in the Shir, it is critical, it's essential to have accurate information. And according now from an article from a beautiful Torah journal called Tchumin, and it was printed in 1996 by Rabbi Yisrael Rosan, an article in this edition of Tchumen. He is the chief engineer at the Tzomet Institute in Alon Shvud in Gush Etzion. Rav Rosen is this Tzomet Institute is an institute along with Rav Halperin's Institute, two major institutes in Eretz Yisrael, that try to find scientific solutions to the challenges imposed by the halacha in modern times. Let's say, for example, what they're pretty famous for is you'll see from time to time people Jews using wheelchairs on Shabbos, or doctors using a Shabbat phone that works through Grama, introduced by the Tzomet Institute in Israel. And Rav Rosan in the Tzomet Institute. Studied in 1995 and 1996, he visited many Israeli power plants, and he conducted a comprehensive study of their practices and came to the following conclusion he came with the following findings of facts, and then he tries to apply Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Chazon Ish's rulings to what he discovered in 1996. He discovered that not surprisingly, that by 1996, all of the Israeli power plants were automated. No longer you have a situation that every few hours that fuel needed to be manually added and the burners manually cleaned. He writes that action is taken in the power plants by Jewish workers only if there is a 10% change in electric demand, either higher or lower. If there is more than a 10% change in either direction, then the workers in the power plant have to type in the computer various actions, and typing computer involves completing electric circuits forbidden on Shabbos for a variety of reasons. We'll say most prominently the Chazon Ish said that would be bona, that would be building. However, the Rav Rosan noted in 1996 something that is disturbing to any observant Jew, and that is that unfortunately, since in Israel, Shabbos is the one day where there is where the government offices are shut, and that offices and buildings are shut, and therefore electric demand is less. The Rav Rosan noted that unfortunately that the time for maintenance, they set it aside for Shabbos. The time, the lower demand is an opportunity. The workers say, now's the time to do regular maintenance. It's so sad. It's so sad that Shabbos is violated in this manner, and the power plants are operated in utter disregard for the laws of Shabbos, and it's totally not necessary. These regular maintenance activities could be done during the week. Now, what Rav Rosan concludes from this is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is 100% correct, and that it is no way in the world for Israeli workers to, when they have to make their adjustments, that there's no way in the world that they're going to be able to say to produce electricity only for the hospitals, only for the army bases, only for the Jews living in Jewish communities in Yehuda V'Shamron or in the Golan, which certainly need their electricity for security. There's no way that you can produce electricity only for life-preserving needs and not for non-life-preserving needs. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's psak certainly stands. And even though regular maintenance is performed on Shabbos, but nevertheless, we're not benefiting directly from that, since that regular maintenance could be done on Wednesday and Thursday. This is just regular maintenance and cleaning that needs to be done from time to time. It doesn't have to be done on Shabbos. We're not technically benefiting from work done on Shabbos. However, Rav Rosan writes that nonetheless, if you hold by the Chazon Ish, if you agree with the Chazon Ish's assessment of the situation, you still should not have any benefit from the national grid, the Israeli national power grid on Shabbos, because if you're by doing that, what you're doing is it shows you're not pained by the fact that the Israeli power plants are operating in utter violation of Shabbos. It's interesting. The question is that I don't know if this is true today. If I had to guess, probably in most power plants it is, unfortunately. And I can't imagine, it would be nice if religious Jews would lobby for changes in the power plants. But unfortunately, there are many, many needs. It's hard to figure out which problem to tackle first. But the Chazon Ish's opinion is still relevant. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's opinion is still relevant. And therefore, we can have both opinions still, both approaches still are relevant in Eretz Yisrael to this very day. But Rav Rosan raises a very, very interesting issue. He writes that perhaps those Jews who will follow the lenient opinion, follow Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they will use the electricity from the national power grid in Israel on Shabbos, so perhaps what they should do is as follows. maybe religious Jews as a community should refrain from using timers. Why? Because by doing that, you reduce the possibility of the 10% change. Because what triggers 10% change? That 10% change would be early in the morning when electric lights turned on, and or when at dusk when electric lights are turned on. So perhaps we can avoid, the religious community should perhaps decide as a policy, we will not use timers on Shabbos. We'll keep the electricity on all the time. Because by this way, we reduce the possibility for a 10% change in electric demand on Shabbos. And now, even though the workers are acting for Pikuach Nefesh needs, nevertheless, there's a very important rule that Baal HaMor writes, that you should try to avoid the need to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh needs. So for example, let's say if one's wife is 9 months pregnant, and you know that it's very likely that you'll have to call for an ambulance or for a car service on Shabbos, take your wife to the hospital. In that case, one should, Mishpura writes, try to do as much as possible, as much malacha, before Shabbos preparations. Perhaps even pay the cab before Shabbos. Whatever can be done before Shabbos, do before Shabbos. Even though it's for Pikuach Nefesh, even to save a life, and permitted an activity on Shabbos. But you will want to avoid relying on permission to having to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh needs. We should go out of our way to avoid others, Jews, from violating Shabbos, even for Pikuach Nefesh needs. So based on the Baal HaMor's principle, so perhaps no timers. No time to reduce the possibility of power plant workers working on Shabbos, even though it's for Pikuach Nefesh needs. So to this, Rav Rosan answered that there was no need for this. He gives three basic approaches. First of all, even though the Baal HaMor believes that one should take these precautions to avoid the need to violate Shabbos, one can put himself in a situation before Shabbos, of the need to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh needs, for life-preserving needs, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. And Rav Rosan argues that the need to use timers in Israel to reduce the amount of electricity used is a matter of mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because the more electricity that's used in Israel creates more of a demand on foreign oil, which causes an economic insecurity problem for the state of Israel. So therefore, it would be permissible to indirectly cause Jews to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh needs, since it's for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. One interesting argument. Secondly, since it involves an economic hardship, for one to have to pay much higher electricity bills, did not want to have the electric timer turning on and off lights on Shabbos. This Rav Rosan points to a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who said that there's no obligation to take heroic needs to avoid the need to violate Shabbos because of nefesh needs. So, for example, he writes that let's say if you have a hospital that is not able to prepare lots of hot water for all its patients on Shabbos. It needs to prepare, let's say it can have some hot water for its, some of it prepared, all cooked up before Shabbos. But as hot water is used, then it's needed for the patients, then more hot water will be needed and more will have to be cooked up. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that a healthy person is not obligated to refrain from taking that hot water on Friday night, even though that means that other Jews are going to have to heat up hot water for patients in the hospital who are dangerously ill and that need hot drinks on Shabbos. That's a very interesting point made by Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There's a limit of how much we have to do. He brings the proof, I know it sounds a little shocking, but He brings from, he cites from the Ramah. The Ramah writes that one is not obligated to, let's say, if a Kohen encounters a Maysmith's dead body and there's no one else to bury, the Kohen Gadol does not have to harm someone and spend money so to avoid his need to violate his kahuna and come in contact with the dead, because he has his obligation to take care of the dead person, even though it means his coming having to come in contact with the dead. Nevertheless, he does not have to take a rogue measure and pay a non-kohen to take care of that body in order to avoid to avoid the need for him to violate his kahuna. All right, so that's Roshon Zalman Amos, and therefore, Rav Rosan argues that we are not obligated to endure economic hardship, undue economic hardship, in order to avoid Jews from doing Malach on Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh needs. And finally, Rav Yisrael Rosan concludes that, yes, maybe if the entire community, if the hundreds of thousands of religious Jews and Shabbos would decide, we're not going to use timers, perhaps that would reduce the need to make adjustments to the electric power plants on Shabbos. But nevertheless, is this a collective obligation or is it an individual responsibility? Rav Rosan thought that it's not necessarily a collective responsibility, and therefore, since the chance that each individual timer is the timer that was the straw that broke the camel's back, that brought the change over 10%, since the chance of that individual causing this is so minuscule, no individual has this obligation to go out of his way to inconvenience himself and to present an economic hardship to avoid Jews from having to do work on Shabbos for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, we'll summarize, and I'll take your comments after I summarize. To summarize, the bottom line is we've seen a very important argument regarding the benefit of electricity from Israeli power plants on Shabbos. Basically, one hand Chazanish, the other hand Roshon Zalman Auerbach. And I think the most important thing that we got that I wanted to stress, that I would like everybody to get out of this, is the point made by the Chazon Ish, is that we should find it intolerable and painful to see Jews being violating Shabbos, and that we should not, even though you wouldn't say this applies to electricity produced by Israeli power plants, it should apply to websites and to broadcasters. We should certainly love all Jews, but certainly feel saddened by Chil Shabbos, and by any Aver, but certainly Chil Shabbos, and we look forward to the time the Mashiach will come, or even before we don't even have to wait for Mashiach to come, we can already even perhaps one step further to bring Mashiach, is that all of the public, all of Israel should operate according to Shabbos, and certainly the public service areas of Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael, we hope should in the near future should be run in complete harmony with the wonderful and beautiful laws of Shabbos. Thank you very, very much. I'll take I'll try to respond to any comments that anybody might have. Any comments? Rav Simcha from St. Paul, I know in the past you've had some comments. Any thoughts? Oh, very good. Okay. I would say that's a nice question. How clear is it that the malacha being performed by Jews of the electric company is Doraita? okay, it's an interesting question. If it's Dorabanan, would that have an impact? But, they're clearly, when they are typing in instructions, let me tackle this in a fuller presentation. First of all, in the old days, the 1950s, when fuel needed to be manually added, there's no doubt that the Jews in the electric power plant in the Chazanish's time were doing an Issa Doraisa. No doubt. However, today, they are typing in instructions, they're completing electric circuit. Now, is the completing electric circuit, is that an Isser D'oraisa? Is the Torah prohibition an Isser D'rabanan? So perhaps all the Israeli workers in the power plants are doing rabbinically forbidden acts. That perhaps would be augur for, certainly would strengthen the lenient opinion. The only thing is that that what's being done, the maintenance activity, which doesn't pose a technical halachic issue, but it's more the philosophical hashkafic moral problem, those certainly are isuri d'oraisa, Torah prohibitions are being done in terms of the regular maintenance. Okay, that's a good question from David Eisen, Beit Shemesh. Rav Simcha, I find the idea that the news for delivery questionable if you have a standard delivery includes includes Shabbos and not specifically for Shabbos. Oh, in other words, you feel that you're not asking the guy to do malach on Shabbos, it's a delivery they're not specifically doing a few on Shabbos. Right, so you're not telling them to do malach on Shabbos, but you're still benefiting, you're still running to the question, you're benefiting from malacha that a guy does for a Jew on Shabbos, which is a serious halachic problem. Okay, Rav Simcha, any further thoughts, comments? Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rav Simcha. Thank you, all of our participants. And a big yershkoch again to Rabbi Kelman and to all of the technical support, all the good people at Torah Motion to make and support the Torah Motion that make these wonderful shiurim possible. And hopefully this should be a siman for what's going to be when Mashiach comes, when Jews will gather all over the world and learn Torah together. Mir Tashem. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful evening.